Hello and welcome back to this special series of the Lehigh Valley with Love podcast, where we are interviewing as many candidates for Pennsylvania's 7th Congressional District as possible. We've reached out to every candidate we could identify, and we're asking them the same questions so you can compare these answers fairly. And today's guest is Bob Brooks, a longtime firefighter and labor leader, and he's running for Congress in Pennsylvania's 7th District. Bob, number one, thank you for being here. And number two, can you tell the people, can you introduce yourself for people who may not know you?
I sure can. George, thanks for having me on. I appreciate the work you do. It's good for everybody. It really is. But so I'm Bob Brooks, and I am running for PA 7. I am a 20-year career firefighter with the city of Bethlehem, and I am a union leader. I've been the president of Local 735. I've held actually every position in the local, with the exception of treasurer. I don't play with the money part. But and then I have since moved on and retired in March from the city of Bethlehem, and I am now the statewide president of the Pennsylvania Professional Firefighters Association, which handles just under 8,000 firefighters for the state, for Commonwealth. So everybody that's paid and is International Association of Firefighters, is also PPFFA, and they are, they come under my umbrella. And we fight for them every day. I go down to Harrisburg, and we do some things, which I'll touch base on later. But, I was born and raised, honestly, in North Adams, Massachusetts, until I was 18 years old. I went through the public school education system up there. I've always had a job. I've always been working since I was 10 years old. I had a paper route. I've done some prep cooking. I worked in some warehouses up there. Like, I've just done all kinds of things. I mean, right down to delivering pizzas. So,
sure.
When I was 18, my house burned to the ground, and my mom decided, I'm done. I'm leaving here. I'm starting new. I'm going to Pennsylvania. My grandparents have been here since the 70s. My grandfather was a trucker. He drove for Matlack Trucking in Bath, Pennsylvania, delivering concrete. Right. So, yeah, pretty cool. I moved down here and moved in with them. My ex, with my youngest son, actually lives in that house to this day. So it's still in the family. He lives in Bath. We live in Nazareth. But, it's my life led me here, and I've been here since 1992. I dabbled back up there a little bit with college, but once I couldn't play baseball anymore, it was over.
I want to get right into it, Bob. These are the questions we're asking everybody. What is the biggest day-to-day financial stress that you're hearing about in the Lehigh Valley right now, and what would be your approach to addressing it on the federal level?
Okay. The biggest thing that I see in here is healthcare and housing. I'm going to focus on housing here because I think we're going to talk about healthcare a little bit later. So I'll focus on the housing part. And, we need to build a shit ton of it. We need to build it fast, right? And to do that, we need to cut some red tape, probably a whole bunch of red tape. That starts with permitting and zoning reform. And we need to make it affordable. So we need to support first-time home buyers. I don't know if you ever heard of the Helper Act. Right. So, I mean, it's a great program, and it gives the VA loan, basically the VA style loan, low interest to first responders and teachers. And I've been working on that for a couple years now with a few buddies of mine.
I think I know one of the guys who's like
Sandy
a big
Royer.
Yes. Yeah. He's all He's been all over.
Yeah. We'll give Sammy a shout out. He loves his social media stuff. But, if we could pass those style loans, not just for the Helper Act, but eventually, down the line, everybody, it would help out considerably. So, and I think another big thing is to crack down on the corporate purchasing. They're like bulk buying these houses, and it's private equity firms that are doing this, and they're putting everybody out of business. They're actually destroying the housing market, and we need to stop them from doing that nonsense. With the tariffs, we need to incentivize for the builders so they can build these cheaper loans, these entry-level housing, and get them built as fast as we can.
Talking about healthcare, do you support extending ACA premium tax credits? Should it be permanent? Maybe kind of talk a little bit about healthcare there.
Sure. So I 100% support extending the ACA tax credits. They should have never got rid of them, like Ryan McKenzie just did when he voted against it with the Big Beautiful Bill. At least not without having another plan. Like, we can't just cut things that people are relying on. We have no plan to replace that or fix it or to make things cheaper. People's healthcare is going to skyrocket here. It's already started, and it's not going to come back down. Yeah. Here's right. Me not being with the city of Bethlehem anymore, trust me, mine's going up too. So we can fix that by fixing the tax code and we can start taxing, you know, maybe a billionaire minimum tax here. And I don't know, we're paying a certain percentage of taxes, and these people, these billionaires and corporations aren't paying shit. They're not paying nothing. So mm-hmm. we need to, if we can just get a minimum tax out of them, that'll pay for a whole lot of stuff. And as far as permanent, like my career, like my position with the firemen, like I've been a good negotiator, I think. Like we've got some stuff happening with the city, with the state. And I think that's what it would come down to, is it would have to be what the compromise looks like to make them permanent. You know, maybe it's another plan. Maybe this plan's not working great, but it's what we got, and we got to come up with something different, you know?
Right. I mean, right now, it is just not. the current system is less than be desired.
Right. Hey, I'm not willing to screw around with people's health care. I'm not willing to.
It's scary. And it's just, you get older too. Like I have a 9 or 10 year old now, and it's just like, wow, this stuff is really important.
Yeah.
You know what else is important? Like, hey, we're not on the border, but we're affected by federal immigration policy. What should enforcement maybe look like in practice? What should happen with legal pathways? You know, what is your take on some of what's going on currently with that?
So as we've spoken about, my career and in a first responder role, like if anybody wants to talk about public safety, I'm all in. I'll talk all day long with them. You know, we need to start, like, they're targeting the wrong people. Like, we're killing Americans. We're killing American citizens. And it starts and ends there. Like, there's better. There was a purpose for ICE. It was to keep drug dealers and murders. It was to get them gone and out, right? Not everyday people. Like, what's going on right now is absurd. And we need to bring ICE back into focus, if possible. I think that starts with getting rid of Kristi Noem, first of all. But we need to be able to pull these people in and hold them accountable, from the people that are on the ground shooting people. And I think we're seeing something happen in Minneapolis right now. And then we need to fix the immigration system. So there's simple ways to do that. I mean, like you said, we can delve deep into this at some other point maybe. But sure. Just a lot, you know, we bring on a lot more judges and help out that circuit of judges. And that helps create quicker pathways, right? And that's what we need to do. We need to streamline the pathway to citizenship. You know, having people waiting 20 years, that's not okay. Like, it shouldn't be. And I know quite a few people have gone through that process. Look at those people in New York. They just yanked them out of line, right? They're on their last step, and they yanked them out of line and shipped them off to a detention center. So there's technical ways. There's more, you know, software to help with that kind of thing in the streamline. But I think streamlining it is the main globe here that we can put it under and try and get things done.
Right. Yeah. Again, I feel bad kind of asking you to summarize some of these really difficult issues. And we're going into another one too, you know. And I bring up this quote, 2021, Susan Wiles said, "I don't have a problem with warehouses being here. I just don't want to become the land of the warehouses." And I'll tell you, there are some roads you can drive down in the Lehigh Valley and you feel like you're in the land of the warehouses. Yeah. What can you tell? I mean, I know that we need some of these data centers. We need warehouses for certain things, but man, it feels like we're at some sort of inflection point. I know that also local government is in charge of a lot of this stuff, but what is the federal government's involvement in this? And what do you think we can do?
So I'll always side on the side of workers. So if these things are bringing in thousands of jobs and we're getting workers out of it, great. If they're not, then I'm not for them, especially when we start talking about data centers, because what they're going to do to their infrastructure, the electricity, the grid system. Like, I mean, the amount that's going to tax us. And like you said, it's a local issue, but we can help with regulating the electricity markets. It's tough from the federal level. I mean, we can kind of help. But like you said, a lot of this happens at the local level with ordinances and, you know, things like that. But for us, we can help regulate and slow down the processes for them. So I guess it's like earlier, I wanted to take red tape away. I want to put some more in here. I want to make them make their own electricity instead of pulling off the grid. You know, there's things that we can do to help out, but we got to have help from the locals.
I mean, it's just me talking, but it's all, like exactly what you just said. It's kind of like encouraging people to get involved on that local level, because those are where the decisions are being made. And
right.
Yeah. So again, another local, very local subject. You know, there are data shows there's hundreds of people, over 300 homeless people in the Lehigh Valley at any period of time. Again, there are local cities who have been Allentown and Bethlehem and Easton working on this in different ways. There's been in the news where some people who didn't have homes were evicted from railroad areas in Bethlehem. You know, it's in the news a lot. It's affecting a lot of people. What's something that could be done on the federal level to help, to number one, help the people in our community who are homeless, you know, and to provide some aid here?
So we can extend the Section 8, you know, it's the housing choice vouchers, like the Section 8 stuff. They're capped right now. And the reason they're capped is because we don't have enough housing. So I think it goes back to the point we talked about earlier. Right. We need to build a lot more housing. Then we can extend that cap and get it out there. But it all worked together, but it all has to work together. It can't be one or the other. We can't uncap it without the housing. We have to have the housing in order to uncap it to allow more people in. But we have to take it and address the root problems also, I think. And some of it, like it's increased affordable and entry-level housing, not just affordable, but entry-level housing, you know. And we have to fund mental health, like, because that's a serious problem in the homeless community, in the unhomed communities, is mental health. And we have to be able to fix that. And I think we saw a spike when we got rid of the state hospitals, that, you know, that's when things started spiking and going. So I don't know if we can put the state hospitals back in play, but at least some funding for some mental health to help these people, you know, get where they, some there's, I think there's, I think it's in layers. Like, again, we could go deep. I think it's in layers. Like, some people want to be there. Some people have to be there. You know, you have to figure out who they are and what they need for help. But I think there's things we can do, support job training, you know, try and help these people out. I think the basis of it is uncap the Section 8 and build a lot more housing to get them.
Flipping a little bit, let's talk about the Lehigh Valley at large. You know, I love the topic of like a third place, a place that's not home, a place that's not work. Is there anywhere in the Lehigh Valley that you love to go that like shapes you, that you just like think of when you think Lehigh Valley?
There is. There's a baseball field behind the Nazareth Intermediate School. So I coach high school baseball, varsity for the Nazareth High School. So when I can go there, or I can get even in the gym, but I can go in there and I can take off my phone, you know, the tool of misinformation. I can turn that thing off, put it in a bag, and I can go there for 2 hours and I can help make young people into adults. So that's the biggest thing for me. I love the game of baseball. I've loved it my entire life. I've been coaching now. My oldest son is 32. I've been coaching him since he was 5. And then my other, you know, children came through it. But and I imagine my granddaughters, I'm be coaching them too at some level of something. But that baseball field is a place I can go and get lost. I don't have to worry about anything. So it used to be just from being the PPFFA president, right? Being a fireman. Now it's, I can go there and get lost from politics and everything else. But the things that's going on there, and you can help make these young people, these young men into adults, you know, they're coming into life and things are expensive. Like college is expensive and crazy. When they come out, they're not going to be able to buy a home because like my son has $100,000 in debt from a Penn State satellite campus. And my old first home was 105. They're saying, you know, he got lucky with it being a family home, but every day now the age has gone from 28 to 40 to buy your first home. Like how are people starting at 40? Like that can't happen. These kids got to have incentive in it, and it's helping them get ready for that world and prepare for that world. Not just about swinging a baseball bat, but that field. It's like the movie Field of Dreams. You walk out and you forget everything. And that's what it is for me. I absolutely love baseball field.
I love that answer, Bob. I'm so happy running, wishing you the best of luck. And it's been a pleasure to get to know you better. Like I said, if we get an opportunity to deep dive, I'm sure I'll see you in the next couple of weeks and months, and I'd love to do it. And again, best of luck and appreciate your time.
Awesome, George. Thank you very much. Have a good one.